Guitar Boogie Shuffle there. What do you think of that? We love it. We heard from Little Stevie Wonder. You know how old he was when he recorded that? Yep, 12 years old. Yeah. Showing off his chops on the bongos and harmonica. Fingertips Part 2. That's it. Carol Kay coming to us live from California, the supreme bassist in all creation. The lady with that great bass line in so many pop recordings. We'll be talking with her. So please stay with us. We'll be back with Carol and all the rest right after the news.
This is where your music and memories live. Club 1220.
K-L-B-B.
Stillwater, Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Fox News Radio. I'm Lillian Wu. Israel's military deploying hundreds of troops across the country to help police with a wave of deadly Palestinian attacks, including one attempt today.
Also, there have been tighter control and security measures in the West Bank as well, where there's been rioting, including in Bethlehem last night and today.
Fox's John Huddy in East Jerusalem. The day after the first Democratic presidential face-off, the campaigns of Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders each declaring the night a success. Sanders saying he raised more than $1.3 million since the debate started. And the woman who sued her 12-year-old nephew for injuring her when he jumped into her arms 4 years ago says she was forced to do it to pay her medical bill.
A Connecticut jury rejected Jennifer Connell's lawsuit against her 12-year-old nephew. She sued the boy for $127,000, claiming he acted unreasonably when he jumped into her arms at his 8th birthday party, breaking her wrist.
Fox Radio's Tanya J. Powell. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Stillwater Motors keeps you moving, even during construction on Highway 36 and the new St. Croix River crossing. Catch the Stillwater Motors St. Croix Valley Traffic Report, weekday mornings at 7:35, only on Club 1220 KLBB.
Your weather report is being brought to you by the Tavern on Grand.
Did you know we sell our 9 homemade salad dressings by the bottle? Take the tavern home today. We are located at 656 Grand Avenue, just a half block west of Dale and St. Paul. We are open 11 a.m. till 2 a.m. daily. The Tavern on Grand, famous for walleye.
This afternoon, we'll see our skies become sunny with our winds out of the west 5 to 15. Highs will make it into the middle 60s. Tonight, skies will be mostly clear with winds out of the west at 5 to 10. Lows will fall into the lower 40s. Thursday, a partly cloudy sky. West winds 5 to 15 and upper 50s. Thursday night, mainly clear and our lows in the middle 30s. I'm meteorologist Greg Tatro on Club 1220 KLBB, where your music and memories live.
Right now, it's 63.
The beat goes on.
Boy, does the beat go on. Sonny and Cher, that's not the way we usually open our show, is it? Well, that's because we have something extra, extra, extra special for you this hour on the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Program. Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2. Stan Turner with you here. Bobby J. over there. Bobby J., take a deep breath. I'll tell you what, we're going to have an hour to remember here, aren't we?
Oh, I know.
And that song by Sonny and Cher, The Beat Goes On, plays a prominent role in our guest here. Let me start it this way. The best. The gold standard, the summit, the creme de la creme. You quickly run out of superlatives when you're talking about Carol Kay. Inside pop music circles, Carol Kay is synonymous with the very best there is when it comes to guitar playing, most especially bass guitar. Outside of music circles, we all know her bass lines, her creative genius. Think Wichita lineman. These boots are made for walking. Feeling all right. Good vibrations. Yeah, the beat goes on. You get the idea. Carol plays on all those. The Beach Boys' Brian Wilson says it as well as anyone.
Well, Carol played on Good Vibrations and California Girls, and she was like the star of the show. I mean, she was the greatest bass player in the world. And she was way ahead of her time. She would play a tonic and a fifth or a third instead of a fifth. You know, she's one of the first bass players to start playing that way.
About the highest praise you can get, that from Brian Wilson. Carol Kay is known as one of the most prolific and widely heard bass guitarists anywhere, playing on an estimated, are you ready for this, 10,000 recording sessions over a span of 50-plus years. Yes, 50-plus years. The numbers and her talent are simply mind-boggling. Here's another mind-boggler. Carol has been kind enough to give us some of her time this afternoon to talk about her career, some of the musical celebs she's collaborated with, and some inside stories about what went on in those recording sessions that produced some of the biggest hits of our time. Oh, yes. Has found time to teach guitar, and write books, too. Amazing. Well, Carol K. Buku, thanks. Thank you so much for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Hi, it's nice to talk to you. I mean, I'm down here still in the heat of the south part of California, and you're up there nice and cool and everything. I'm jealous.
I was gonna get a weather report from you. Are you in the LA area right now, Carol?
Yeah, well, no, I'm outside. I moved to the high desert, you know, because it's nice out here. When I was in Los Angeles and I lived there and I was raising my kids, you know, we didn't have the cars or the people like you do now.
Yeah.
It's just crazy over there. You know, it's just a moving parking lot on the freeways. And out here, this is much like it was about 50 years ago. So I'm at home here, and my son and his wife are out here. And all that. So I've got friends here and all that, you know. So, yeah, it's nice out here, you know. But of course, you don't have the nightclubs, you don't have the jazz or anything, you know. But, you know, something you didn't back then either, except that the jazz was very popular in the clubs in the 1950s, and that's where most of us got our start, was in the jazz clubs or in the traveling with the big bands.
That's right. It is jazz, and really that's my first question, first topic here. Yeah, you came out of the jazz medium, and that served you and other jazz musicians so well when you wound up in the recording studios to do rock and roll.
In the studios, yeah.
Right,
yeah. Because most of us were jazz players, and we used to say, don't tell anybody, you know, because we're in there cutting the rock and roll and pop and inventing the lines and stuff, you know. We're saying, shoot, don't tell anybody we play jazz, you know, that kind of thing.
Look, Carol, your timing, as it turned out, very serendipitous because, yeah, you were a jazz club player, but toward the end of the 50s, early 60s,
guitar.
Jazz clubs were starting to fade out. They were going away, and you had to find a place, and you found, a guy named, Bumps Blackwell, heard you.
Blackwell, who was doing Sam Cooke at that time, you know, he was the manager of Little Richard, and he had some hits under his belt. So he had Herb Alpert around him, and Lester Sill, and all kinds of people around him, learning how to produce from him. He came in the jazz club where I was playing, and I'm playing bebop, you know, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And he said, would you do a record date for me? And I thought he was kidding at first, but he wasn't kidding. It was playing fills and back of Sam Cooke, which is easy stuff, you know. And it was good music, and Sam could sing, you know.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun. I shouldn't have said it like that. But, you know, jazz snobs, you know, we're all snobs, basically, you know. But as soon as I saw the check, I said, this is for me, you know, because... you know, because I was doing a day job and playing jazz at night because I had two little kids and my mom, and to take care of. And I was 22, and so and so it was a no-brainer because you saw the jazz clubs all start to fold, you know, and being replaced by rock and roll. So you said, well, join them, you know.
and you and your fellow and sister jazz players, you really helped lift these rock and roll performers in many cases. Now, Sammy Cooke was in a class by himself. I mean, he knew, as you said.
Oh, he was great.
He was. But
he was a super guy, yeah.
He was. But some of them were not in that stratosphere. And your playing, you really helped lift
it. It started off with really good singers, though. I mean, Lou Rawls, the first date I did, that's Lou Rawls' first date, too, singing in back of Sammy and stuff like that. And it was, you know, the people don't know that the music recording business started with the black people out here, you know, and a lot of people ignore that, or they don't want you to know that, see. And I was used to it because playing in the bebop clubs, some of the time I'd be the only white person in the club. But it was a different time, and it was the clubs were jam-packed, and they were real nice clubs, and people dressed up in suits and ties to come hear you play, you know, that kind of thing. Yeah. And you didn't have the crime or the drugs or anything back then like you do now. Now in the same neighborhoods of South L.A. where I used to play in the clubs all the time, I mean, I won't even drive down there in the daytime, you know, that kind of thing.
I got it, yeah.
It's
a different world. Carol, I know...
It's a different world.
It really is. I know that for you to name maybe a list of 10 of your favorite songs is impossible.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, I know. You can do it, but the list might change the next hour, and I get that. But, you know... Carol, if we could, if you could indulge us, maybe we could take, 9 or 10 of some of your favorite songs, let's put it that way, and kind of dissect them, the songs in which you played, usually bass guitar. Just kind of give us the inside story on these. If that's okay with you, we'd like to kind of have you walk us through, and let's do that right now. Let's start with a song from 1966. These Boots Are Made for Walk, and it became a number one hit. Of course, Lee Hazlewood had a lot to do with this one. Nancy Sinatra sang it, and
well, you know that's not me on that sliding bass. That's a jazz bass player by the name of Chuck Berghofer that did the slides. You know, and it was a throwaway date. It was the last tune of a 3-hour date, and it's just a throwaway thing. You know, it's just something cut really quick. And so Lee told Chuck to do some slides on it. So he went, do. No. He stopped the tape. And take two, that Chuck went, did those real short slides. See, and then I'm joining him at the bottom, that boom-de-boom stuff.
Okay,
you know?
Let's listen
so
to
that's
here.
All I did, really.
All right, here.
You keep
okay,
saying,
Bobby, let's back that up again. So, Carol Kay, you are in there with him.
That's Chuck, a jazz bass player, that's doing that on the string bass.
So
see?
Chuck Berghofer on double bass and you playing electric bass. And
electric bass, yeah.
Right, let's do it again.
Well,
here.
Fender bass, they
fender
call it.
Here we go.
Then.
Here we go.
We
can hear your click clicks in there. Nancy really liked two basses on her songs, and that really worked out. That worked out.
Yeah, well, see.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, see, the rock record started with two or three bass players, you know, and then about my fifth year of guitar recording, I got the Capitol Records, and the bass player didn't show up, so they elected me to play bass, and somebody had a bass, so I started playing bass, and said, hey, this is more fun than playing guitar on these days, you know,
so I saw
the thing, you know, I saw, yeah, you know what, there's not a lot of bass players that can play this thing, you know, and I could. So,
you could.
I got the right sound, and I got the sound of three bass players in one.
Oh.
So I didn't mean to put people out of work, but that's what happened, and they started to just hire me. It didn't matter if I was a mule or what, or a donkey or anything, you know. It didn't matter about being a girl at all. I got the job done, and I made the money, for everybody, really.
What
know?
A happy accident.
The bass was
to the
important.
Base. Yeah, absolutely. In the 1960s, especially early on, Carol Kay, you once said that doing rock and roll recording sessions, it was kind of like an assembly line because you'd go in, one morning or afternoon, maybe do three or four dates in a day.
Sometimes, yep.
Three or four different songs.
You're having to invent on one date. You got that. Three or four songs or five songs, you know, because we bragged after a while that we could do an album in 6 hours, you know, and it took them, these are mostly jazz players, but they had some rockers there too, Billy Strange Glenn Campbell and Leon Russell and Mac, you know, who became Dr., I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's okay. That's all right. There's so many names, so many years involved here. But Carol Kay, you came into guitar playing. You got into music. I think both your parents were musicians. You grew up in Washington State. By age 14, you were playing, weren't you? You were out out in the venues playing.
Yeah. Well, I grew up poor like a lot of people back. Born in the Depression. You know, we didn't have much, you know, but there was my mom, when she'd get mad at my dad, she'd sit down and play Chopin and all those classical pieces, and then the ragtime and all that. So I got a good dose of that, because she seemed to be forever mad at my dad, you know. So she'd sit down and play music, and that's the best love that a kid can get, is to hear that music all the time.
True? That's beautiful. So
yeah, it was great. We were very poor, but the music was rich.
That's a lovely line. Bob, we got time for one more before we go. Carol, let's talk about it. Let's jump to the Beach Boys. 1966, I think this was for the Pet Sounds album. You were in a lot of those, playing bass, I believe, most of the time. How about Sloop John B., 1966? What can you tell us about that?
Oh, man, that was a fun thing. Now, Billy Strange was on the day, and he invented the guitar lines in front. You know, most of the time, Brian brought in the music. You know, he had written the music. You could tell that he knew the music, and it wasn't written very good. In other words, the flats and strokes would be on the wrong side of the note and stuff like that. You know, but they were his notes, and we knew it, you know, because he knew the music. He'd come in and spread the music around, you know. We would only do about one tune per 3 hour day, and he'd sit down at the piano and play the tune to give us the feel, and then he'd go back in the booth and start to produce. But Chuck Rich, the engineer, taught him about the producing. It was Chuck that did it, and he's a nice man. And he took Brian under his wing and showed him right there. You know, I mean, it was learn as you go. Type of thing. And it was fun to work for him. But he knew the music, and he wrote all the bass parts out. There's only one lick that I got in. You know, but the rest of the bass I invented the lines for. But for Brian, he had both bass parts written out. But Billy Strings came along and said, "Well, how about this?" And Brian said, "Yeah." Mm-hmm. Do that. In other words, it was all under Brian's yes or no. Uh-huh. See, that they invented some parts sometimes, you know. So that's what happened.
So, Carol K.
On record. Yeah. I love the record.
Sure.
You know?
Sloop John B., you're playing the electric bass on this 1966 recording.
Thanks for that. Thank you.
Maybe Bobby, can we hear a little bit of that, please? Here we go.
We come on the Sloop John B., my grandfather and me. Around Nassau town we did roam, drinking all night.
Boy, do we hear your bass lines there, Carol. They stand right out there, don't they?
It's coming. It's coming. Here it comes now.
Good groove. You're in the groove.
Well, they had two basses on that day, though. You know, they had Lyle Ritz on the string bass, and then I'm playing the Fender. But you hear mostly the Fender, because a lot of times string bass is just kind of felt, you know, that kind of thing. But it was a good sound and good feel. Yeah.
Oh, it was great. And good for a number three hit for the Beach Boys and you, Carol K., 1966. What a great sound. You know, I've written down, I've read a lot about you, and I've come up with a glossary of terms in the music business which you folks use, like riff, line, fill, groove, hook, lock-in, and you're known for something as the slide, and then other terms, the roots, licks, boogaloo bass line, slapback echo, and fuzz.
Well, we had our own thing going, didn't we? we think that the whole world knows that language.
Carol, that's
the slide happened on a date. It was a mistake. I forget the name of the record now. But you know, it was a very boring date, and so I accidentally went to the wrong chord, and I said, okay, whoops, and I went back down. I said, well, they're going to hear that. And they popped the tape, all right, and they said, hey, hey, do that again. Yeah. Do that again. I've got a good thing going here.
The elusive butterfly of life by Bob Lind.
That's what it was.
It was kind of,
we had a chord chart was all, you know, it was very boring. Yeah.
But you make things very unboring, Carol. Carol, hang with us, please.
We're going to take
a commercial break here and come back, and we're going to talk about other recording sessions of which you were a huge part. Sam Cooke, Summertime, Ray Charles, on and on. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Carol Kay, live from California.
Are you sick of dieting? Have you lost weight only to gain it back and then some? Are you bothered by eating fads that swing this way and then that way and then back again? I'm Dr. David Wick from Holistic Chiropractic Center, and my workshop, Breaking Diet Habits Without Beating Yourself Up, is for you. It will be held at my clinic on Thursday, October 22nd at 6 p.m. There is no cost, no obligation, no sales pitch, but there is limited seating, so a reservation is required. For more information or to reserve your place, call 651-342-2083.
Is your home ready for the holidays? Okay, maybe you have a carpet disaster. Some people hire a deal of the day carpet cleaner and roll the dice to save a little money. But trust should not come that easy. Did you know there is no licensing required to be a professional carpet cleaner? So how do you know what they are putting into your carpet or who is coming into your home? So call Zero Res because you know it's safe and effective. And check out their website, ZeroResMN.com. ZeroResMN.com. There are over 30,000 real customer reviews. And the Zero Res Gotta Love It guarantee makes it easy to get what you pay for. Call Zero Res today for the KLBB special. Three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at $159. And this month, you can get your air ducts Zero Res clean, starting at just $20 per vent. Serving the Metro and St. Cloud 7 days a week. Call for details, 952-ZERO-RES. 952-ZEROREZ. Spell it backward or forward, it spells the same.
Here at River Valley Ford in Baldwin, we hear a very common customer request. I want a vehicle that's easy to get into, get out of, and sits up high for good visibility. We have three words for you: Edge, Escape, and Explorer. The Edge offers unmatched ride and comfort. The Escape gives car-like MPGs and available four-wheel drive. And the Explorer has room for seven. We've heard your concerns, and we have the solution. Shop, compare, and find out why so many people choose River Valley Ford of Baldwin.
Birthdays, anniversaries, a special occasion. Stan does it all. Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing Company. All request and dedication show on Club 1220, KLBB.
Summertime.
Great vocal there, but great guitar work too. Yeah, Sammy Cooke in Summertime from 1957. And we are talking with a lady who was in on that recording session, Carol Kay. Carol Kay, the bass guitar, the guitar bass player supreme. I'll tell you, the most recorded bassist anywhere on this planet. Just a wonderful lady, a great artist, and she is with us for this hour, live from Southern California. What's it like being a living legend, Carol?
Oh, I don't know. I never think of that. I'm just lucky to get to the food store. Are you kidding?
I figured you'd say something like that. Well, you are.
Yeah,
you are. We're going
to
win.
I'm out here. They don't know anything about that. And it's kind of nice to be around people that don't treat you any differently. You know,
I know. It, absolutely.
Thanks.
Spoken like a true artist, too. We're going to be working through some of the songs here. Carol, we'll be talking about such songs as The Way We Were. You played on that, Something Stupid, Feeling All Right with Joe Cocker.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the one we just came off the break with, the Sam Cooke song.
Oh, man, I love Sammy. Oh. You know, to have that as your first date was in your life was just beautiful, you know, because he could sing, and the players were all jazz players too, so I felt comfortable. And I didn't know that Bumps Blackwell was a jazz vibes player too. I played a couple of gigs with him and was blown away. He was so good, you know, and a nice man. He was a nice man, you know. And that,
yep,
back then, there was a lot of respect for me. But, you know, that's what I earned in the jazz club, because they like you if you can really play and you hold yourself okay. You're not prejudiced. And you know, you're just one of the guys, and that's the best thing, you know. And so I came in the record dates like that, but then it got to be rock and roll, and I thought, geez, I don't know if I want to do this or not. And then I worked for Richie Valens, and he was such a nice fella, and to work with him, and he had so much respect, and he had so much talent, too. You know, you could tell by the way he played. Yeah. He played his own solos. I just did the guitar stuff, and I did some fills on 12-string, I think, on one of the things with Richie Valens.
Carol, you played on La Bamba. You played on La Bamba with Richie Valens.
Yeah,
rhythm guitar?
Rhythm guitar, and it had Earl Palmer on the drums, and Earl's always a groove. Every time he played, he was a groove, and he was the number one guy on drums, too, And then they had Buddy Clark on string bass, who was a great, great jazz bass player, too, you know. And then they had Lenny Hall doing that bass guitar thing, that bum, bum, bing, 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 boom, 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 boom. That's Lenny Hall on that.
Wow.
See, now, Lenny Hall started the bass guitar, but he was a jazz player from New Orleans, who played jazz on the organ on the Mississippi boats, you know. So
wow.
So he cut from a long string of playing, and he composed of film scores for the All Black films and all that stuff, you know. So it was a bunch of us together who did that stuff, you know. That was really fun in back of Sam Cooke.
Sam Cooke. We played a little bit of Summertime. The Gershwin song,
Richie Valens too, you know. So and a lot of those artists, and then it got to be fun, and so I stayed doing studio work because it really paid well, and it was respectful, and it was short, and it was fun, you know. The early rock and roll, the late 50s and the early 60s was really fun to play. And then when I switched to bass, I accidentally got on bass, you know, and I started playing bass, and I could create bass lines. That was fun, too. But about 67, 68, it got a little bit boring with the surf rock, and then it felt like cardboard music, and so I quit in 1969. I quit to write my books. When I came back, and I refused to do any more rock dates after a while, you know.
Okay. But in Carol, in 1976, which not so coincidentally was this country's bicentennial year, you got in the studio with Ray Charles, and you recorded, among other things, America the Beautiful with him.
Well, yeah. I think that was in 69 or 70, though.
I think they held it off. 76. That's right. That would be.
I see. I mean, it was released then in 76.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You know, I played bass on that thing, and when I heard that played after 9/11, I just broke down and cried.
Let's listen to it here. Yeah. See if we can pick you up here. Bass lines there. What goes through your mind now when you hear that song?
You know, well, it's different from the time that I cut it. It's different because after hearing it with 9/11, and I knew Ray so well, you know, I did a lot of his bass with him. We'd kid around a lot, and we'd talk a little bit, you know, but he was the kind of guy that did his thing, and he wasn't about feeling sorry for himself at all. He never felt sorry for himself. He just went for it, you know, all the time, and it was just a joy to be around him. What I feel now is sad and glad at the same time that he had so much feeling for this country. He sung like that, see? And at a time that he could have just said, well, screw America. No, but that wasn't Ray. He was proud of the fact that he lived here. He was proud of the fact that he had the chance to be the success that he was. And that's the song that he's saying thank you to America, you know, and that's the feeling I get out of it.
That's just amazing. Just amazing.
Yeah, well, that's how good I feel about being on that record, too. I'm very proud of that record. You know, you can play a ton of notes on the bass, and you can play, you know, you can show off a lot of licks here and there. But the main thing was in the recording to support the song and the singer. That was the thing that you did. No matter the style. Oh, I'm sorry. No, don't.
And
got a dog here.
Got a dog. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, right. One dog barks, they all bark. You know.
Right.
So,
sure.
Yeah. So it was that kind of a feeling, you know. That and I love Ray. He was a good man, a really good man. That he made the best of it, you know. That's the way I feel too. You know, you grow up poor and you go through this and that, you know, and I see people whine on Facebook. They whine and whine. I was like, hey, buddy, I can out whine you all. You know, why don't you just do something with your lives, instead of whine, you know?
Well, Carol, thank you. That's just a beautiful insight into Ray Charles and his music and how you supported him with those beautiful bass lines. We're going to jump ahead to Wichita.
Oh, it's fun. He could sing, and he loved to have the bass line in his earphones. I asked him, I said, please sing. You know, I know you probably had your voice, but hey, I'm composing bass lines to you know, and he always was there, you know, to sing, too.
Carol, Wichita Lineman. Oh, my goodness. You know,
that was a great record, wasn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. And I'm so grateful you recorded it before you kind of got out of the business for a while. You needed a break. You were getting tired and worn down. And this was in 1968 that the song was released. It carried over into 69. Wichita Lineman, of course, a great Jimmy Webb song. He wrote it.
Oh, Jimmy was on the date playing, and he was... Yeah. Such a nice guy. Yeah. You know, I mean, you wouldn't know that he could write those kind of songs, you know.
What a genius he was. The song.
Yes,
would,
he was.
Yeah,
he
and of course it was a number one, number three pop, number one country, number one adult contemporary. And I think Jimmy or the producers on the date, Wichita Lineman, wanted you as the bass guitarist to develop or to show off a picky sound on the bass, right? That's what both Glenn.
Wanted the real pick sound, you know, but you got the deep sound along with the pick sound, you know, but it's a technique that I have with the picking that is down on the downbeat, up and upbeat, with a flat wrist, you know, people try to pick with their wrist up high. You can't do that.
Got
to have a flat wrist, so you got the power without even trying, see?
Carol, maybe you can clear up some confusion for us. Is this you playing guitar at the beginning of the song, and is it Glenn playing bass guitar later on?
No, Glenn.
Pardon me?
It's Glenn. It's all Glenn. That's
okay.
Good.
And you're doing the bass lines on this, right?
Yes, it's the bass line. I invented the bass line, and then the producer, Al DeLore, wrote out the string parts, and he used my bass line on the string parts. See, so it sounds arranged, but it wasn't arranged. It was just... It was just about three or four pieces cutting it at first, you know.
Okay, let's listen to it here. Let's listen to it now.
I hear you singing in the wire. I can hear you through the whine. And the Wichita lineman is still on the line.
Carol, I have a great quote from you. You've said of this recording session, Glenn sang his butt off.
He sure is. He was something else. But he also played the guitar like crazy. You know, when I'd sit next to him on the date, he couldn't read very well. And it's got to be more and more reading, you know, rather than inventing. So he'd say, Carol, how does this go? You know, and I would hone in this line, and he would play it just like that because his ear was so good.
Yeah.
But then you didn't see him for a while, and then we wondered about Glenn, And then about a year later, then we're all working for Glenn. He's a big star, you know. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay, Glenn, go get the gold ring, you know.
Let's listen to the guitar part. Carol, is that Glenn playing?
That's Glenn playing, but he used my bass guitar. Which is a Dan'l. I mean, it tuned like a bass on the lower four strings, but it had the upper strings, you know, like a guitar tuned down one octave. And he used to have to borrow my bass guitar to get that same sound because I had custom pickups in it and mm-hmm. different strings and bridge setup, you know, to make it powerful. Because it was really a chintzy little thing that didn't play well, you know. So you had to rebuild it almost to make it play, to make it sound good. And so he loved that sound, and he'd come over to the house to pick it up himself. And my live-in that helped me with the three kids would just be, Glenn Campbell was here. I love him.
Well, Carol Kay was there. It's interesting you said that when you went to that recording date for Wichita Lineman, there was not any music in front of me, just some chord changes, and you took it from there.
Well, there were some chords. It was a chord chart. There was no notes, no. but in one spot, Jimmy Webb did stop the take, and he said, hey, Carol, try a few. In these two or three bars, try playing these notes. I said, yeah. That was fine. Thank you.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
So he did add a few bass notes in one spot there. Yeah.
Okay, Carol. You mentioned how much you like Lou Rawls. What a gentleman! What a great artist!
Oh,
yeah. Let's go to 1971.
We Were of a Man.
Yeah. What a voice.
Great guy.
1971. A song. A recording session in which you're involved. A Natural Man. Let's hear a little bit of this, Lou Rawls. Huh?
You know, there was a time when if someone told you to do something, you did it. Bam, right on. No questions asked. It was yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. You never said no, you know? But you know, things are changing nowadays.
Yeah, no kidding, Lou. Oh, what a great song. What a great arrangement, too. Carol, tell us about that.
Wasn't he? Oh,
yeah, he was.
God. He was just great. He was fun to work for. You know, he never changed, too. I bumped into him in the airport like 30 years later. Hey, Carol, like it was last week.
Beautiful.
Or something. We last saw each other, you know. So,
terrific
guy. He's a great guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he and Sammy Cooke were good friends.
Thing.
Yeah, great stuff. Yeah, okay.
By the way, that's Earl Palmer again on drums on that one.
Right.
I love working with Earl. There was no stress at all with Earl. We locked in the groove and we're gone. You know?
I love that term.
Locked in the groove.
I
like that. You just can't go anywhere. It's just right there.
You've got simpatico.
You know, in the same place that we cut that at Capitol Records. I can remember I was wondering about staying on bass even because, you know, when you work some rock bass that are not as much fun, you know, you think, well, I don't know if I want to do this or not. You know, and I was missing the jazz. And so I got on a date with Earl Palmer one time. We did the old Spanish the Al Martino thing. And we locked on there. It's just a boom de boom song. But it was so much fun. And I remember looking over at Earl, and Earl's looking at me like, hey, this is fun. Yes, it is. It's fun.
Carol Kay, we're going to take a break here one more time. Please do stay with us. Listeners, please, we'll be back with Carol Kay. We're going to be talking about songs in which she played The Way We Were, Streisand, Something Stupid, Frank and Nancy. And see Feeling All Right, Joe Cocker. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Natural man.
Hello, my name is Marianne Koharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. We're the billboard people. Pro-Life Across America networks with agencies nationwide to help women and families in need of services, all thanks to our supporters. Unfortunately, some supporters have recently received phone calls from telemarketers soliciting donations. We want our supporters to know Pro-Life Across America never sells, trades, or gives out donor names, and we never solicit donations by phone. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives, please call Pro-Life Across America at 1-800-366-7773. We hope you will consider making a donation to Pro-Life Across America's life-saving outreach. To donate, go online to ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. That's ProLifeAcrossAmerica.org. Pro-Life Across America is totally educational, non-political, and tax-deductible. And we never solicit funds by phone.
Gesundheit, kindergarten, poltergeist. What are you doing?
Practicing the only German words I know to get into the spirit of Wayback Burger's German theme.
Well, all you really need is an appreciation for German taste, like German mustard, beerkraut, and Munster cheese smothering two juicy patties on a pretzel bun. That's the Oktoberfest burger, available all month along with a refreshing cider donut milkshake. Need I say more?
Nein. Oops. Sorry about that.
Taste freshness, America. Wayback Burgers.
Focus, focus, focus. How many times have we told ourselves to just focus to get something done once and for all? Well, as you know, that's easier said than done. Hello, I'm Mary Berg, the author of The Joy of Being a Control Freak, the 80-20 Way to a Happy, Healthy, and Organized Life. And I talk a lot about focus all throughout my book, such as how to use the right focus at the right time to be able to see the big picture, then narrow down that focus to tackle the task at hand. It sometimes takes practice to learn to plan ahead, then take the steps to get there, but it's not nearly as daunting as you may think. Call me, Mary B., at 651-257-9416, and we can talk about the many other ways to get organized and stay that way. Simplify and downsize to take back your life. Jumpstart your day to get done what you need to get done. And many, many other tricks of the trade to the joy of being organized. Our first meeting is always free of charge, so we just chit-chat over a cup of coffee and talk about what you want to get done, then focus on how to do it. Call me, Mary B., at 651-257-9416. And let's get focused.
Back in the late 1800s, if your brewery burned to the ground, it usually meant you were out of business for good. But Joseph Wolf rebuilt his brewery and continued brewing his beer until Prohibition hit. And a 93-year dry spell isn't stopping great-granddaughters Pat and Kathy from bringing it back. Go to wolfbrewing.com, click on Beer Finder so you can bring it back to your home. Ask for Wolf's, Stillwater's original craft beer. Wolf Brewing Company, Stillwater, Minnesota.
Come on, you know you want to. Call Stan Turner and get your request or dedication on the air. Call 651-275-1220. The Wolf Brewing All Request and Dedication Show on KLBB.
You know that song, don't you? 1973, Barbara Streisand. Memories from, of course, the movie The Way We Were. Barbara and Robert Redford, who can forget it? And on that session, on that recording date, yes, Carol Kay, our guest this hour. She's talking to us from her home in Southern California, going through a catalog of songs, just unbelievable. Over 10,000 recording sessions in which Carol Kay was part. And Carol, you were in on this one, of course, in 1973. Barbara Streisand, I think, was late to the date. He did about 32 takes on this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was take after take, and that's with the big band. I mean, the strings were there. I mean, the whole band was there live, you know, and so, which was rare back then. Because the end of the 60s, they started to split it off. In other words, the horns weren't there to record with the rhythm section anymore, and they just would do the tracking with the rhythm section. And you know what, with the rhythm section, we'd have to invent our parts, and then a lot of times they would write down what we invented for the horns. For the overdubs. But the whole band was there, and she'd do take after take. Now that's a real artist to do take after take like that, like a number one, and I was told to do just the boom de boom that was written, and I knew what it needed. I'm the only bass player, but it wasn't that. It was that the part you needed to support the band more, and that meant to play more notes. You know, so on that take, I started to invent lines. I said, oh, to hell with it. I'm going to go with it, you know, because we could be here all night long trying to get a take, and we were just about, you know. So I started playing, and then the drummer looked over at me and smiled. Paul Humphrey, and he smiled, too, and started playing a little bit more. So it had more gas to it, you know, to support the big band, and she really sung her butt off, too. You know, there was one point where she held her note, and I went, bip, 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 boom, you know, and she looked at me like, yes, it's happening. You know, so that was the feeling on it, and I never did get to meet her, because at the end of the day, you know, like all the string players, there are about 40 of them, you know. They were lining up to meet her, and I thought, no, I can't stick around. I got to get up 7 o'clock in the morning, you know, the next day. So I went home, but I knew that was going to be a big hit.
Yeah, Marvin Hamlisch told you. He said to you, Carol, just stick to the music, and you finally went.
Well, you know, on most things, he was a great writer, just a great string writer and everything. Mostly, yeah, for string writers. It works like that you got to keep a simple bass line, but there was so much going on, it needed more in the bass part, and that was my job. And he told me that because he knew that I was going to just go all over the place with it, and I finally did, and it was a big hit anyway.
Number one hit. Carol Kaye, another number one. I'm just dying to hear about the inside story here. Something Stupid, yeah. Frank and Nancy Sinatra in the studio.
That was fun. There was so much love, between them, but Frank is one of those guys like, let's cut it and get out of here, you know, that kind of thing. But so they did their thing, and it was about the second cut that was the hit cut, you know. And it was so cute the way that they sang together.
Yeah, let's listen to it here.
And if we go someplace to dance, I know that there's a chance you won't be leaving with me. And afterwards we drop into a quiet little place and have a drink or two. Then I go and spoil it all by saying something stupid like I love you.
What a beautiful sound. That went to number one on the charts in 1967, Father and Daughter.
That was good for them both. And it was a cute song. We looked at the title like, what the heck is this? You know, and then we realized it what kind of a song it was. It was beautiful. Yeah.
It really was. Oh, that's fun. So Frank did it and got out of there. Didn't waste any time, huh?
Yeah, he did, yeah. He was a nice guy, though. Yeah. He really was. He was business, you know. And I like that because I'm business too. You know,
sure.
You can crack a joke and everything. You don't have to go on and on. You don't have to talk all the time. You know, you just crack a joke and then you take care of business. You know.
Carol, back up a second. We want to talk about a group, the so-called Wrecking Crew, session music.
No. We were never known as that.
That's
the drummer's thing, you know, from 1990. And it's a low-life term. And that's not a good thing to
What's
talk
the term?
About.
What's the
I don't
term?
Want to talk about that.
Okay.
Huh?
The click is what you preferred, wasn't it? The clique? No?
No. Studio musicians have been known by that name since the 1920s. Yeah. You know, and he tried to rewrite history, and we, we're all angry about that.
I got you.
That's not right.
I read you. We'll session musicians. That's the name. Okay, great. And before we hear a next song, we're going to do Joe Cocker Feeling All Right here in a minute.
Bill's the man.
Yeah, we'll do that in a second here. But I want to ask you about saxophone players and Plas Johnson, one of your favorites. And King
Plas was great.
Yeah,
he was a great jazz sax man. And there's others, you know, like the Beach Boys. Nick Leroy. I did a lot of bebop gigs with Jay and with others that were in the studios. There was a lot of fine jazz men in there.
There were, and other places, King Curtis, one of my favorite sax players, too, and Sam the
He's East Coast. He's East Coast. See, there was West Coast and East Coast, you know.
And
So, yeah, different. Uh-huh.
When it comes when it comes to guitarists, you have high praise for Howard Roberts, too.
Oh, what a great player he was.
He did an album, Carol. I remember it well. In fact, I have it called Howard Roberts is a Dirty Guitar Player. Do you remember that one? One of the tracks is called Florence of Arabia. It was a send-up of Lawrence of Arabia.
Florence
of Arabia. Howard, you gotta check that out sometime. Well, let's get back. We mentioned Joe Cocker. Yeah, we mentioned Joe Cocker, Feeling All Right. This one came around twice, 1969. It charted about number 69 on the Hot 100. Then 1972, it did better. Tell us about the date, the recording date, and I love the way Artie Butler started out this thing with what you call a Latin boogaloo solo on the piano. Huh? Can we hear it here? Here we go.
Yeah.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. I think it did better than that, though. It was in the top 10 there for a while.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, and it was a great day because we just Artie, who had just come out from New York, he used to play with the Puerto Rican bands back there.
Wow.
So he started that kind of a riff, and then we just fell into place. You know,
yeah.
I invented my line, and Paul. At that time, Paul Humphrey and I were doing a lot of record dates together too. What a great drummer he was! And then Law Deer was on the congas, so it just fell into a groove. He was there. They're to sing too, so it just kind of fell into place then, see. So yeah, it was easy to do, and it was fun to do. Plus, it was a happy time for me because I had a date that night with a very nice guy, and it was a bass player, and I knew that I was gonna fall in love, and I did. You know, I fell in love with a bass player afterwards. You know, it was a fun time.
You were really in the groove, Carol, weren't you? That was great.
Yeah, wonderful. In the groove.
I just checked the charts on 1972. Feeling All Right. It charted no higher than 33, which really blows me away.
I'm shocked at that because you heard it on the radio all the time.
You still do. You hear it on this station. I'll tell you, we get a lot of requests for it. Oh, Carol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And of course, we must say that you did a lot. You've done a lot of work with film and TV too. And you can give us some of the titles. Go ahead.
Mission Impossible. I did that, and that's Earl on drums on that. And did the Mash, Hawaii 5-0, and Cold Jack, and Room 222, and the first Bill Cosby thing, the Streets of Suspense, Pistol, Brady Bunch, Cannon, you know, it just goes on and on.
And Batman,
Thomas
too.
Thomas Crown Affair and all that.
How about Batman? Here we go.
Yeah, Batman, did that. Not the TV theme, though. I'm not on the TV theme. Marquette's hit a bit.
Yeah,
see?
Okay. Carol, you did many dates with Phil Spector, and we know about the dark side of Phil, but there's a bright side of Phil. You saw the bright side. Tell us about Phil Spector.
Yeah, it's a good part of him. He was a young man, and he was into something, and he kind of invented the use of the earphones and then the big baffling and then the many mics on the drums and the other instruments. He's the one that started to bounce from track to track. He bounced sound around and like that.
Yeah.
Very genius type of guy, and he wanted to kid with us, you know, but he'd kid in a strange way sometimes. He'd pick on somebody. Mm. And I think it's because he started to see his strength and he practiced some of his strength talk on us, you know. Mm-hmm. It wasn't very good sometimes. Oh.
Okay.
You know, that's all.
Carol, we're going to take one last break here. Please stay with us. We'll be right back to round out the hour. Stay with us, folks. Okay.
Okay.
The grocery store's a supermodel.
Don't miss Mallard's annual wine fest this Saturday in Bayport. Over 100 wines available for tasting, grape stomping, live music, and an afternoon of relaxing fun on the shores of the St. Croix River. Tasting tickets now available at just $10 each, $15 the day of the event. Get yours now at Mallard's on the St. Croix, just south of Bayport. Mallard's, the area's premier locale for fine dining. Twice voted for Reader's Choice for Seafood Excellence. Call now to book your special holiday events.
When it comes time to consider a move, visit Scandia Shores of Shoreview, the area's most exceptional independent living facility for seniors. Listen as residents tell why it feels so comfortable to them.
The people and the brightness and the food and the activities, everything, I guess. I think it's a great place.
Well, I like the staff because the staff are willing to do things that are not on their job description.
You don't really need a car, but you can have one. They take you just about every place you would like to go, from shows to luncheons. Doctors.
It's also beautiful if you look not only inside but the surroundings outside. They're very lovely.
Call Debbie and set up a tour and see why everyone loves living at Scandia Shores of Shoreview. 651-415-9793. She'll even treat you to a free lunch. 651-415-9793.
This is Tom from TimelyExpressions.com in Badness Heights. I'd like to talk to business owners. You know you have a great team of people working for you, making your company shine. How about showing how much you appreciate them when you hear they are growing their family with a customized embroidered blanket for the new baby? The gift will last a lifetime and they will know how much you care. Call me at 612-414-3674 or contact me at TimelyExpressions.com.
Be sure to stop by and thank these fine sponsors for their support of the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show. Subway.
River Valley Ford.
Oak Meadows Assisted Living Community.
Dr. David Wick.
Scandia Shores of Shoreview.
TimelyExpressions.com.
Images of the Past.
Jaime's Haberdashery.
Mary Burke Estate Specialist. Minnesota Carpet and Hardwood.
Pro-Life.
Wayback Burger. And the Wolf Brewing Company.
The wait is over. Stan's back, and he's taking your requests and dedications. It's the Wolf Brewing Company All Request and Dedication Show on Club 1220 KLBB.
Yeah, that's Artie Butler doing that great Latin Boogaloo solo. I'm feeling all right, Joe Cocker. Our guest, Carol Kay, playing the bass on that one. Great song. Carol, there's a quote here I have in front of me. That might be your favorite recording session of all. Is that a possibility?
Yes. Well, I've got a lot of favorites, you know, but that's one of the best ones. Yes, it really is. Yeah.
And
it's a groove.
Oh, a groove. Absolutely a groove. Yeah. And the Pet Sounds the Pet Sounds concept album, Brian Wilson, that was spread over many, many months. Did Brian really use dog whistles and empty Coca-Cola cans and barking dogs?
Oh, yeah. He did it all, yeah. But some of the guys, you know, like the percussion section would try this and try that. I mean, they all kind of had fun on his stage, you know,
Pet Sounds, let's see, a couple of big tracks came out of that. Wouldn't It Be Nice? And Sloop John B. and God Only Knows. Three big ones right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, great stuff. This is a concept.
Help Me Rhonda was another one I did with them that was pretty big. And then California Girls, too, which has the riff that you hear in.
Yeah. It's great stuff. Carol, we have 3 minutes left here. Why don't you just kind of give us a reflection on your career? Still going on. You're still teaching. You're still writing books. A rich life, a rich career. Just kind of sum it up for us. I know you're a very talented, but a very... We lost her, did we? Okay.
Might have lost.
That's okay.
Her cell phone
might have gone flu-y on us, but we had the best part, wouldn't you say,
of
an hour with Carol Kay, one of the preeminent musicians of our time, a pop music expert. She started in the jazz. jazz medium as a guitarist in the jazz clubs around Los Angeles, and just by chance was asked to go in on a Sam Cooke recording session in the 1950s, and from there she progressed to, quite by accident, again, filling in for somebody to play bass guitar. And she's made a career of doing that bass line rhythm, almost a percussion instrument with her bass guitar. And what a lovely lady she is. Carol has been playing guitar since the age of 14. She's now 80 years young and still going. And do we have her again? Carol, I guess we got you back on the line. Just a couple of final thoughts from you as we leave you. Thank you so much for a lovely interview, a great career. It's still going.
And, oh, fun. Thanks. I'm sorry about the drop call, but that's because you live out here in the wilderness, you know.
Yeah, I thought one of the dogs might have sat on your phone there. Carol, in the last couple seconds, what are you up to these days? What are you doing?
Well, I'm trying to get my book done. You know, I mean, the autobiography, and I've been writing it for years and years.
And
it looks like I'll be done with it pretty soon, you know. And then I just found some film that I did. Jazz guitar film. Mm-hmm. And it's another project. My 46th project.
You know, oh, well,
books, we're... DVD courses and all that kind of stuff.
I mean,
the bass.
Yeah. I'm so delighted to hear your...